Okay, today's daf is Kiddushin daf Mem Ches. We left off on the top of daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We were going through, we had a machlokas yesterday between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. If a guy is Mekadish and Isha, and the Braisa said two different things. It said either by being Mekadish or with a Shtar Chov, not a Shtar Kiddushin, with a Shtar Chov, or being Mekadish or by being Marsha, giving her Hashah to be able to collect his debts. And it sounds like the same exact case. So the Gemara had said that no, they're actually talking about two different cases. One case is where you're Mekadish with a chov that's bishtar, and the other case where you're mekadisher with a chov that's not bishtar, with a chov that's alpeh. So we were going through yesterday all the different possibilities of what is the nekudas hamachlokas if we're in the discussion of being mekadisher with a shtar chov, with a chov that's bishtar. So that's the so we went through a number of possibilities. We have one more possibility today. Then we're going to discuss what is the nekudas hamachlokas about being mekadish with a milv alpeh, by being mekadesh with a loan that's not bishtar, that's only alpeh. Then the Gemara is going to try to show that the whole discussion about being mekadesh b'milva really may be subject to a machlokas tanaim. So first we're going to suggest one machlokas tanaim that it might be linked to, but we're going to suggest three alternatives as to what that machlokas tanaim might really be about instead of being about milva alpeh. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph we're going to mention a second possible machlokas tanaim that might be linked to the issue of milval peh, but then we're going to give three alternatives as to what that machlokas might really be about, and then it might not be about being mekadesh b'milva. And then in the Mishnah on the base, we're going to discuss if a man makes a tanai in the kiddushin that he is something or that he's giving her something, and then he's not what he claims to be, or what he gave her is not what he claimed to have been giving her. Whether the kiddushin is going to be chal, the Gemara is going to have three different possibilities. If a person is mekadesh with a cup of something, what does he mean? Does he mean that he's mekadesh with the cup, with the something that's in the cup, with both the something and the cup? And it may depend on what the thing that's in the cup actually is. And then the Gemara is going to conclude, the daf is going to conclude with a discussion of hiteu l'shvach, that if a guy says that I'm a Kaddishi, let's say, Almanas, that I'm an Ani, and then it turns out that he's an Ashir, so it's a Machlokas Tanaim, whether Mekudeshes or Eina Mekudeshes. Whether she could say, whoa, I wasn't interested in marrying a rich man, I only wanted to marry a poor man, or do we say, no, if she was willing to marry him when he's poor, then for sure she was willing to marry him when he's rich. So that's going to be the final discussion in the Daf. So let's again pick up where we left off. In the third line of Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, we're discussing by a Milva Bishtar, the man is Mekadesh and Isha with a Milva Bishtar, is she Mekudeshes or is she not Mekudeshes? Was a Machlokas Tanaim, and we were trying to explain what that Machlokas Tanaim is about. The last explanation of the Machlokas Tanaim that we had yesterday was that they're arguing about Shmuel's Din, because Shmuel holds that if a person sells a Shtar Chov to somebody else and then he's Mochel that Shtar Chov, that it's actually Machel. So that we suggested that that's in fact the Machlokas, that the Chachamim hold like Shmuel, that a person has the ability to be mochel that chov, and that's why the woman is not miskadeshes with a shtar chov, because yeah, the guy is giving her a shtar chov and saying her miskadeshesly, but he could then go ahead and be mochel that chov, so he may really be giving her nothing. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. That's why the Chachamim say ain't a miskadeshes, whereas Rabbi Meir would say miskadeshes, because Rabbi Meir doesn't hold like Shmuel. Rabbi Meir holds that if you give a shtar chov to somebody else, you or you sell a shtar chov to somebody else, you cannot go and be mochel the chov. The truth is, Shmuel's din requires explanation. If I give you a shtar chov, so I've transferred ownership of the shtar chov to you. What? So l'chora, not only have I transferred the shtar chov, I've transferred the chov to you. So why is it that I have the ability, I have the authority to be mochel the chov? It's not mine anymore. I've transferred it to you. I've given it to you. I've sold it to you. Why would I have the right whatsoever to be mochel a chov that's not mine? So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Chananel writes that someone, the mocher, is able to be mochel chov because he could say that iyanti b'cheshbonos, I checked out all of my books and all my cheshbonos, and I saw that he doesn't really owe me anything, or I'm not really sure, maybe he already paid it back and I just forgot to give back the shtar. Meaning he's always believed to claim that it was a mistake, that I messed up, I thought there was a chov, and in fact there's no chov. No, but since he has the ne'amanus to be able to say that the guy doesn't owe me the money anymore, so therefore we let him be mochlit as well, because we see he has full control over whether the guy will have to pay him back, because he has ne'amanus over it. So since he could say, so that's why if a malva gives a chov as a matna shchivmira, he can't be chozer and be mochlit, because the shchivmira, we assume, that's what the Gemara Bava Metzia says, that if you give a shtar chov as a shchivmira, then for sure you're not allowed to be mochel. Why? Because the assumption is that a shchivmira is medayik b'chashbonosav, that if it's his dying, is getting his affairs in order before he dies, so we assume he's really checking to make sure that everything is really okay. So that's how Rabbi Nachanan says. The Rif, the Rambam. What?
Why is it so simple?
He has that ne'amanus because he's the Baal Davar, so we assume that he has the meaning. He was the one that would know, so we assume that he's the. How are you going to challenge? And he is a Bar Gashema. Anyone who challenges it is only a Shema, because he's the one that would know. Certainly, the other guy is not going to be not going to challenge it. The Rif, the Rambam, and the Balei Tosfos suggest that no, really, min haTorah, you can't really sell a shtar chov, and it's only Tazkanas Chum that you're able to sell a shtar chov. So since min haTorah, the chov is still, it's still your chov, so that's why you're allowed to be mochel. The reason that it doesn't work minatorah, the Ran says, is because ein guf mamon. You can't sell something that's so fluid. You can't sell something doesn't have actual value. It's only representative value. The Rishonim quote from Rabbeinu Tam, though, that mechira v'shtar does work minatorah. The reason you're able to be mochel, he says, a little more lamdish. He says that by a bal chov has two shibudim klape the malve. He says there's a shibud aguf and there's a shibud nechasim. The shibud nechasim works midin arev. It's like a cosigner that the fact that if I don't have the money, you can go and you could collect my properties. That's as if all my properties are like a cosigner. They're like an arev on the chov. That the nichsei ha'adam are arevim to the shibud that he has. So the shibud aguf you can't sell, but the shibud nechasim you can only sell the shibud nechasim. So the shibud aguf still stays by you, but you've sold the shibud nechasim. So if you're mochel the shibud aguf, memela the shibud nechasim goes away. Meaning since that was never actually sold, so you have the ability to be mochel that, and memela the shibud nechasim goes away. So it's really a technicality and just understanding the mechanics of how it works. But anyway, let's begin from the third line of Mem Chasim Ral, V'iba Yisema. Maybe a final possibility in this machlokas as to selling a milva bishtar. I'm sorry, be mekadish nisha with a milva bishtar, whether mekadeshes or not, the kuliyama islu de Shmuel. Everyone holds like Shmuel, that of course you do have the ability to be mochel a milva, after a shtar after you've already sold it. V'hacha b'isha k'miflgi. Over here, the question is the psychology of the woman. Is the woman, does the woman feel like she's received something of value knowing that you have the ability to be mochel? Does she have the confidence that you're not going to do that, or is she maybe still nervous that you might do it? So Mar Savar, Reb Meir holds Isha Samchadaita. She's perfectly comfortable. She thinks that if you gave her this shtar, she'll be able to collect it. You're not going to be mochel. She's getting something of value, and she's perfectly happy with that. Meimar Amar Lo Shavak Leila Didi Machel Lachrini. Because she's going to think, look, I'm his wife. I'm the woman that he wants to be married to. So I'm going to be number one in his books. He's not going to let someone else off the hook at my expense. So she'll be perfectly happy with that, and that's why mekudeshes. Umar Savar, but the Rabbanon hold Isha Nami Lo Samchadaita, that she's not going to have smichus das, that she's always going to be nervous that maybe he's going to be mochel the chov. Rabbi Kivega writes in Maseches Gittin on Daf Yud Gimel that a woman is not choshesh that he's going to be mochel and be mafsid her. No, she's choshesh that if the guy tainas that it was perua, and then the husband's going to have to swear that it's not perua, he's not going to want to swear. And since he's able to be mochel, so the chov remains in his rishus, he doesn't have to swear, so she thinks it's going to become uncollectible. I mean, Rabbi Kivega thinks it's unconscionable that the woman's actually going to be choshesh that the husband, for no good reason, is going to be mochel a chov that he used to be mekadesh's wife with. He says, no, that can't be her concern. Her concern must be that there's going to be a sichsuch, that there's going to be some sort of fight, and it's going to come to the point where the husband's going to have to take a shvua. Now, back against the wall where he's got to take a shvua, people are very hesitant to take a shvua, so that's what she's afraid of, that he's not going to want to take a shvua to defend this chov that's no longer his. But whatever it is, she's not going to have a smichus das. That's how the Chacham understand, and that's why it's not a good kiddushin. So those were all the explanations as to why a milva b'shtar, if he's mekadesh nisha with a milva b'shtar, why we have a machlokas tonight and whether mekadesh is rain or mekadesh is. The milva al peh b'may pligi. What are they arguing about if he's mekadesh nisha with a milva al peh? What's the machlokas really about whether mekadesh is rain or mekadesh is? So it says more b'drafun amarav. They're arguing about rafun amarav. Dam rafun amarav. Manali biyacha. Person says, you owe me $100. Tenei leploni b'maymet shloshtan, and he says, give it to so-and-so, that b'maymet shloshtan, meaning, and he said, give it to so-and-so in with the nosin and the makabel, and the person that the money is entrusted with, all there together, kona, the one who it's supposed to be given to, is kona it. So mar savar, the chacham hold, ki kamarav hani mili b'pikadam, avol mil v'lo. And when does Rav say the din that when you give the money the money that's mufkad by someone else and you want to be maknit to a third party that it's going to work? That's only by a pikadon, but by a milva, but by actual money, when it's not a pikadon, you can't do a maimut shloshtan. So a person can't be mekadesh nisha with a milva al peh that he has by somebody else, because he can't be makna, since it's a milva, it's money, it's not a pikadon. So that's why it's an ineffective kiddushin. You're trying to be makna this money, that Reuven is trying to be makna the money that Shimon has, that Shimon owes him, to the isha, to a third party. It doesn't work that way with money. It only works by pikadon. Umar Savar, or a mayor holds, no, lo shna milva, lo shna pikadon. If it works by milva, it works by pikadon as well. And therefore you can be mekadesh and isha with that. Name a ketanai. Maybe it's really...
What about she put a draw nothing? Why don't you say he owes her the money?
Because there's no... He doesn't owe her anything. Meaning Shimon owes Reuven the money, but he doesn't owe her the money. He's just trying to do a ma'aseh kiddushin right now. But what he was asking is Shavu Rav Nassan is that generally speaking, if Reuven knows Shimon and Shimon knows Levi, so Reuven knows Levi, meaning Levi can collect directly from Reuven. But that's only when everybody owes each other. Over here, he's trying to do a new Maisa Kiddushin, but there is no chov that he has toward the Isha yet. So it's just a question of whether this can create a new Maisa Kiddushin. Name a Ketanayim. Maybe really this whole discussion about Mekadish B'milva, going back to Rav's comment on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, that Mekadish B'milva Eina Mekudeshes, maybe it's not so possible what Rav says, that Mekadish B'milva Eina Mekudeshes. Maybe it's really a Machlokas Tanayim. We're going to do this twice in today's Daf, where we're going to find another Machlokas Tanayim and say, maybe what they're really arguing about is Mekadish B'milva, and then we're going to say that, no, they're arguing about a million other things, but a million other possibilities, but not really Mekadish B'milva. So name a Ketanayim, the following Machlokas Tanayim. His kad shili b'shtar. The guy says, I want you to be Mekadesh to me with a shtar. Rameir, Rameir, Mekadesh, Rabbi Lazar, Mekadesh. Rameir says, no good. Rabbi Lazar says, it is good. The Chum say, well, it depends. We have to look at the value of the paper. If the paper is worth a pruta, it's Mekadesh. And if the paper is not worth a pruta, then it's not Mekadesh. So what are we talking about? It's just Kiddush Eshtar? There wouldn't be a machlokes if this was about Kiddush Eshtar. What are we talking about over here? Hai Shtar Hechidami. What's the case of this Shtar? If you're giving her a shtarchov, Reuven is trying to be Mekadesh Nisha with a shtarchov that says that Shimon owes Reuven money. So he's trying to be Mekadesh Nisha with someone else's shtarchov. Now that can't work, because then Kasha Drameir Adrameir. Because over here in this price, Rameir is saying Eina Mekadeshes. But we just got through a whole discussion where Rameir holds that if you're Mekadesh with the Milva Bishtar, Mekadeshes. Rameir is the one that holds that it does work. So it can't be that we're talking about the same as the previous discussion we just had, where you're Mekadesh with an actual shtarchov. Not el b'shtarchov dida. Now the case must be that this woman happens to owe Reuven money. So Reuven says, you know what? Instead of paying me back the money, here's the shtarchov that says that you owe me the money. It's yours, harei mekadeshesli, with this shtarchov. And they're really arguing about the issue of mekadesh b'milva. He's trying to be mekadesh with the loan that she owes him money, that he had loaned her money. So don't you see that this is a machlokas tanayim? How can Rav just say straight up that mekadesh b'milva is ainu mekadeshes? It's really a machlokas tanayim, because that's the only explanation of this brisa. Says Gemara, no, there are three other explanations of what this brisa is talking about and what they're really arguing about. First possibility, Amar of Nachum Yitzchak Hakamay Askin Gon Shekitcha B'Shtar She'in Al Avedim. Maybe he was being Makadisha with a Shtar that didn't have any Edim on it. So Rameiru l'tamei damreidi chasim akarti. Meaning, we're talking about kiddush ishtar. We're not talking about ishtar chov. We're not talking about ishtar of money or anything. Kiddush ishtar, where a guy writes on a piece of paper, harei at mukadesh asli b'shtar zu kedas Moshe b'Yisrael. The only thing is, he never had Adam sign on the bottom of that shtar. So kiddush ishtar definitely works. That's the first mission of the Masechta. That Ha'isha miskadeshes, that Ha'isha nikneis rather, b'kesef b'shtar b'biya. Shtar is one of the three ways that an isha is nikneis. So you do kiddushin. But the thing is over here, he forgot to have edim sign on the shtar. So Meir l'tamid amrei dechasima karti. Meir holds that edim chasima are what it's all about. In order to make the shtar effective, you need signatures on the bottom of the shtar. That's the famous sheet of Rameir from Masechus Gittin. When it comes to get, Rameir holds Eidei Chasima Karti. It's the signatures on the get that make the get kosher. That's the Eidus L'Kiyum Adavar that allows the whole Gittin or Kiddushin to work. Rav Lazar L'Tamei Eidam Reidei Mesira Karti. And Rav Lazar says, no, you don't need Eidim signed on the star. You just need Eidim seeing him giving her the star. Rabban Mesafkalui Kramei Rav Lazar. And the Rabbanan aren't sure. Is it Eidei Mesira? Is it Eidei Chasima? So Yilkach Shavin Asaniyar Miyesh Pashav Brutum Mekadesh. And therefore they say, well, let's see if we can at least count this as Kiddushin Midin Kiddushay Kesef. And if it's worth the Shavu Pruta, so then it will count as Kiddushay Kesef. So that's how the Rabbanan try to play it safe. So that's one possibility of what they're really arguing about that has nothing to do with Mekadesh B'milva. This Mechol is about Kiddushay Shtar. The Iba Yaseima, or another possibility of what they're arguing about, is again that it's about Kiddushay Shtar and nothing to do with Mekadesh B'milva, but a different issue relating to Kiddushay Shtar. Kigon Shekasva Shalol Lishma. He wrote the Shtar Shalol Lishma. Meaning he wrote, a man was in love with Rachel, and he writes, Yaakov is in love with Rachel, and he's so excited to marry her, he writes a shtar that says, Harei Abukadesh Asli, thinking this is for Rachel, 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 the whole time. And then, somehow, Leah shows up to the wedding. So, instead of Rachel, Leah's the bride at the wedding. So he gives her the shtar kiddushin that he had prepared for Rachel. So is that a valid kiddushin? It wasn't written, l'shem, this isha. So that's the issue. It wasn't written l'shma. But Reish Lakish, they're arguing about the very issue that Reish Lakish raised. The boy Reish Lakish, Shtar Erisin, Shekasu Shlo l'shma, Mahu. What if you have a Shtar Kiddushin that's not written l'shma? Havai Yitzir Makshin and Mai Yitzir Bidin l'shma, Havai Nami Bidin l'shma. Do we say, well, we have a Hekish that links Gittin to Kiddushin, so if a Get needs to be l'shma, Shtar Kiddushin needs to be l'shma as well? Aldilma Havai Yisadadi Makshinan. Or maybe we compare different types of Kiddushin to each other. Mahavaya de Kesef lo bina l'shma. Kesef doesn't need l'shma. You don't need to go to the mint when they're making your Kesef that you want to be Mekadesh Nisha with and make sure that they're minting the Kesef l'shma. So afavaya de shtar lo bina l'shma. So the writing of the shtar also doesn't have to be l'shma. That was the very issue that Reish Lakish raised, and maybe that's this machlokas tanoim. Basa de baya hadar pasha. That means we, after Reish Lakish raised this issue, Reish Lakish came to a conclusion. Viatza he thinks that the link between Gittin and Kiddushin is what really carries the day, and that just like a get has to be written l'shma, a shtar Kiddushin has to be written l'shma. The very way we know that you could be Mekadish with a shtar at all is only from the Hekish of Havaya Liyitziya. So therefore the rules that govern Kiddush Shtar are from the Hekish of Havaya Liyitziya. There is a discussion in the Rishonim how far that Hekish of Havaya Liyitziya goes. Meaning, do we say that if you can't be Megarish with Karka, so you can't be Mekadesh with Karka? So what does that mean? You can only be Megarish with a Shtar, right? You can't be Megarish with something that's Mechubar L'Karka. So maybe that means you can't be Mekadesh with Mechubar L'Karka. So Rishonim debate. Well, why not? Why can't I use the Karka that I own as Kiddush Kesef? It has value. So let me give it to her as Kesef. Or do you say, no, Makash Havayi L'Yitziya, you can't use it as Kiddushin if you wouldn't be able to use it as a get. So it's a question of how far that link goes. Does it even go into the other areas of Kiddushin outside of Kiddush Shtar? But over here, clearly, says Reish Lakish, as far as Kiddush Shtar itself is concerned, if you have a Shtar that was written Shalol Lishma, no good. So maybe that's this Machlokas Tanoim. Marish Slade Reish Lakish. Rameir holds like Reish Lakish that it would be no good if it was not written Lishma. Omar Lasslade Reish Lakish. And Reb Lazar doesn't hold like Reish Lakish. He thinks that it's perfectly fine to have a Shtar Kiddushin not written l'shma. It's only a get that needs to be written l'shma. And then a final possibility of what Rameh and Reb Lazar are really arguing about. about if they're not arguing about being Mekadish B'milva. Everyone holds that a Shtar Kiddushin has to be Lishma. Yeah, you wrote it Lishma, but you wrote it without her das. She didn't know about it when it was being written. You wanted to surprise her. You've been dating this girl. You're excited to get married. So you wanted to surprise her. So you wrote the Shtar Kiddushin in advance. So surprise, she has no idea. She didn't know you were planning this whole wedding. And they're arguing in the machlokas of Rav Ravina, Rav Papa, Rav Shravya. Did Mar Kasu Lishma v'Shlomi Daita, if you wrote a Shtar Kiddushin Lishma, but without her das, Rav Ravina Amri Mekadeshes. Rav Ravina say, yeah, sure, nothing wrong with that. Rav Papa, Rav Shravya Amar, Einu Mekadeshes. Rav Papa and Rav Shravya say that it's not Mekadeshes. Meaning, what?
Why
don't you even buy this violation? Oh, good. So says Rashi, why would it work? Tamem Farish Barakama. Mayitsiya lobi mksiva midaita, shreval korcha megarsha. Safavaya. That the Hekish Avaya Litsiya would tell you that of course you could write a shalomi daita. A man doesn't have to tell his wife when he's writing again on a daraisa level. He can surprise her. Hi, honey, I'm home here. And she opens it up and behold, it's a get. And that's it. They're divorced. You can be megarish shreval korcha. That's perfect. Perfectly fine on a Doraisa level. So what's the Svarit say, Eina Mekudeshes? So if you look at Rashi, Eina Mekudeshes, Mayitziya bi'inan b'ksivas haget, das makne, dahainu bal, shemakne esi isha la'atzma begetzeh, af havayu bi'inan das makne. Meaning that both shittos are based on the Hekesh Havayu Yitziya. It's just that do we say that the first shita says you don't need her das, the woman's das, by the shtar of the get, so too you don't need it by a shtar kiddushin, whereas the second approach is no, when it's not her role is reversed by kiddushin, it's the opposite role that it is by a get. By a get, she's the one that's being kona herself. By Kiddushin, he's the one that's being kona her. So just like by a get, you don't need the das of the one who's being kona, just like by a get, you need the das makne. You don't need the das kona, you need the das makne, you need the husband's das when you're writing the get. So by Kiddushin, you should also need the das makne. Who's the makne? The isha. She's being makne herself to the husband. So it's not a question of whether we apply the Hekesh of Vayelitzia, it's a question of how we apply the Hekesh of Vayelitzia. That's what this machlokas is all about. So that's what we're suggesting. Maybe that's really the machlokas from Meir and Reb Lozer over here. Period. That's the end of that machlokas tonight. Now the Gemara is going to say, okay, well maybe this Mekadesh B'milva is really subject to a different machlokas tonight. Name a kahani tonight. Maybe it's really going like the following machlokas tonight. Titania, we have a brisa as follows. Aseli shirim nizam v'tabos v'akadesh anilach. A woman says, you know, you're a jewelry maker, he's a Jew, he's in the jewelry business, and she says to him, do me a favor, make up these types of jewelry for me, and then I'll be mekudeshes to you when you make me these types of jewelry. Kivan shason, mekudeshes to Rameir. Rameir holds, as soon as he makes it, she is mekudeshes. L'cham say, no, she's only mekudeshes once she gets it in her hand, once she gets the money in her hand. Well, what money are we talking about? Ilema osa mamon. If we're talking about osa mamon, meaning that he has to give her after he finishes making up, she gave him the raw materials. He makes up jewelry out of it. So only when he gives it to her, she's mukudeshes. Well, mechal tanakamus of rafi osa mamon amilo. Then the tanakam would be saying she's mukudeshes at some point before that, before he gives her the jewelry back. Why would that be the case? El b'may bo mekadsha. So what is he being mekadish her with then, if he's not giving her anything back? So that can't be what we're talking about. Elav b'momen acher. It must be that we're talking about some other money over here. U'shmamina b'mekadish b'milva k'miflagi. And what's the machlokas really about? It's about being mekadish b'milva. V'savi d'kuli al m'yashin l'skirus m'tchila v'atsov. That apparently everyone agrees that when you hire someone to do a job that's going to take some time, he's earning the money for the payment of that job as he continues to work on it. So each time he bangs the hammer, another time he earns another shava pruta, and he keeps on earning a little more, a little more, a little more, and then so you so she owes him that money. That's like a milveh that's building. It's an account that she has with him, that he has with her, that's building as he continues to do the work. So what he's essentially being mekadesh her with is a milveh, is all that accrued loan that's been building up. The my lav ba'kavugi, the mar savar mekadesh milveh mekadesh. So a mayor holds mekadesh milveh works, and that's why you can be mekadesh her with this. Umar savar mekadesh milveh ainu mekadesh. And the chacham say, no, you better give her other money. You need to give her a shavar pruta aside from giving her this jewelry, because just giving her the jewelry is not going to work, since that's being mekadesh b'milva, and mekadesh b'milva is einu mekadeshes. This is all working with the assumption that yesh shel schiris mitchila v'atzof, that schiris works in such a way that it's not that, there are two ways to view it, whereas we're about to see in the Gemara, there are two ways to view schiris. I hire you to make a piece of jewelry for me. So one way to view it is, like we're saying right now, that each moment of work, you're earning a little bit more money, a little bit more money. The other way to view it is, no, you're not earning anything until it's done. And once it's done, all at once, the chov is there. All at once, that's when you owe me the money. So if it's, then all the money is owed all at once. Now clearly, everyone would agree, Rav Yonasan Sacks likes to point out when he talks about it, ein eschiris mishtalemes el lebasov. Everyone would agree, you only pay it at the end. The question is there a chov that exists? I mean, you know, let's say you get in the taxi and they start driving you, and each time the meter goes up a quarter, you chuck another quarter at him. You have to keep paying it as it goes. No one would say that you have to actually pay it. It's just that the chov is accruing over time. So at any point that you know exactly how much you owe at any given point. It's not that you owe zero and then all at once you owe it at the end. But you only pay it at the end. Obviously, you're not going to pay for each pachas mishavar pruta as it's happening. But the question is, in principle, is the money being accrued? Is it being owed as we go, or is it only all at one shot? So then the Gemara says, nah, maybe they're not really arguing about mekadesh milveh. Maybe they're arguing about something else. Look, the kuli alma mekadesh milveh ainu mekadeshes. Maybe everyone would really agree that mekadesh milveh is ainu mekadeshes. Does not work. Maybe the real machlokas over here is, how does schiris work? Is it mitzchila v'atzof or not? That mar savra, a mayor would hold, ein al schiris ella basof, that schiris is only basof. Umar savar, and the chum would hold, yesh al schiris mitzchila v'atzof, that there's a schiris mitzchila v'atzof, meaning a mayor holds mekudashas, because ein al schiris ella basof, you're being mekadish when you give her back the item, so you're giving her l'shem kiddushin, the entire value of what she owes you, which is way more than a shavar pruta. And the Chacham say, no, yesh al schiris mitchila v'yadsof. Now this is an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. L'may nafkamina, in general, whether yesh al schiris mitchila v'yadsof or yesh al schiris al-basof, like we just pointed out, everyone agrees it's zeinu mishtalemes al-basof, so one nafkamina is clearly our case. Nafkamina is l'gabe kiddushin. Tosos points out that l'chora, this is one of the only nafkaminas. Is it called being mekadish b'milva, or is it not called being mekadish b'milva? But Tosos points out, and Tosos Rosh also point out, you're not going to say enough nafkamina whether you're allowed to be chozer in mid avoda. I mean, let's say I'm a contractor to build a house, and I built half the house. I built, I put the structure up and whatever. But then I quit. You're just too impossible to deal with, whatever. So we get in some sichsuch, and I just quit in the middle. So one would be tempted to say, well, if you say yesh al schiris mitchila v'atzof, so then you owe me for the work I've done. But if you say ein al schiris ella basof, you owe me nothing. So Tosos says, no, it's not really enough nafkamina. Everyone would agree you owe me for the work I've done, because everyone would agree. Whether you say yesh l'schiris mitchila v'atzof or ein l'schiris ella basof, the sof is defined as when I finish working. So when it's not when the job is done, it's when I'm done with the job. So that becomes the sof. So the question is, you definitely have to pay me for that. It's just a question of how it accrued over time, but that wouldn't be enough kamina. Another nafkamina, Tosos points out, comes up in the Gemara Navzar Daf Yutes. If a person builds a bayis l'avodah zara, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to build a bayis l'avodah zara, but if you build it, it's mutter to get paid for it, because yesh l'schiris mitchila v'atzof. Meaning, when did it become a bayis l'avodah zara? Only with that last little bit. So all the other money that I accrued over the course of the building, I'm allowed to have. But if you hold yesh l'schiris mitchila v'atzof, then all the schir, I'm not allowed to have any of it, because it's all going to be a bayis l'avodah zara. It's all money from building a bayis l'avodah zara. The Ritva says that maybe there's a third nafkamina, that if yesh l'schiris mitchila v'atzof, and then in the middle of the malacha, the kli is ne'enas, and something happens to it out of anyone's control, so the Baal Bayis has to pay the schar of what he did until the ones, even though he's not getting anything back. Whereas if you say in the schuyus el basof, so then maybe the Baal Bayis won't have to pay. The Ritva thinks that's different than quitting halfway. That if there's an onus that happens to the kli, where the kli is just not here anymore, something happens and the whole kli gets destroyed, and it's not anybody's fault, then maybe there is no sof that's defined over there, and maybe that would be enough kamina with yesh and schuyus with kli basof. Then the Gemara says another possibility of what this machlokas might really be about. V'iba yaseima, second line on Mem Chesem Beis. V'iba yaseima to kuliyam yeshel skluz mitchilatzov. Everyone holds that it accrues slowly over time. Umekadish milva ena mekadeshes, and if your mekadish milva doesn't work, so how could you say that your mekadish that the kiddushin would work over here? V'achabu uman kona b'shvach kli kamiflegi. What they're really arguing about over here is does a person who works on a kli, does he gain ownership of that kli through the work that he's doing on it? Is he being kona the improvements that he's making to the kli, and then since to the person that he's who owns the kli at the very end? So Mar Savar Ameir holds Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, that he can, but he is Kona B'Shvach Kli. So when he's Mekadish the Isha with the Shevach that is Mashpiach the Kli, he's giving her his own money, and that's why it's Mekudeshes. Umar Savar Ein Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, and the Chum Molda, no, it doesn't work. He's not giving the woman his own money. He's being Mokal, the Schar Pulaso. So that's a Halva, and Mekadish Milva, it doesn't work. The Iba Yisema final possibility is to call the Alma Einum and Kona B'Shvach Kli. The Yashil Eschlius Mitchil Vatzof and Mekadish Milva Einum and Kodeshes. Everyone holds that all arrows point in the direction of it not working. The Kiddush not working. It's really Halva'a. But over here the case is he adds onto the tachshit, he adds onto the piece of jewelry a little something that's of his own that came from his own raw materials, that's for not part of the raw materials that she provided to make this piece of jewelry. That became an expression, a rabbinic expression. Whenever we talk about taking a chiddush that a previous generation or that your rebbe said, and you want to just add in a little another nafkamina or another point, the Lashon the Achronim always uses that we're being mosif and nofach mishaloh, that I'm adding just a little bit of something my own when I'm dealing with someone else's stuff. But this is where it comes from, that she provided him all this raw material to make a beautiful piece of jewelry. He did, but then he added in something a little extra. So that's the question. The giving her the jewelry itself, that's Mekadesh Milva, that wouldn't work. If he just gave her this little bit that he added, that would work. It's Shavapruta, so he's giving her something of value. So the question is, what's her das when he's giving her the both of them together? Is the das on the milva or is the das on the pruta? The marsavar milva pruta daite a pruta, or marsavar daite a milva. So if all the das is on the pruta, then mekudeshes, then she'll be mekudeshes because she understands that that's what the kesef kiddushin is. Where if you assume the das is on the milva and the pruta is a little something that he added on, but she gave him $10,000 worth of raw material, and he adds in a little something. So she's not thinking about that little something. She's thinking about the actual item of jewelry. It's really the subject of machlokes of the following tanaim. If a guy says, you should be mekadeshes to me with the schar that of the work I've done for you. Ein mekadeshes b'schar she'es mekadeshes with the work that I will do for you. So then it is mekadeshes. Nasan b'schar she'es imach ein mekadeshes kolskei b'schar she'es imach. Even if you say the schar of what I will do for you is Einam Kadeshas, for sure what I have done for you, Rabbi Dan Nasi Omer Be'emes Amru Bein B'schar She'asisi Bein B'schar She'asimach Einam Kadeshas. In either event, it's Einam Kadeshas. V'im Hosif La Nofach Mishalo Mekadeshas. But if he adds a little something, then Mekadeshas. So Bein Tanakam and Rabbi Nasan Nikavinayos Schilus. The difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Nasan is pretty self-evident, because Rabbi Nasan says that they're arguing about Yeshan Schilus or not. I mean, they're arguing about if I'm about to do work for you, you gave me this raw materials, you want me to make jewelry for you, so will that work for Kiddushin? So that's purely a machlokus about Schirus. What's the machlokus though between Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi? Well, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is one that adds, if he adds a nofach mishalom mekudeshes. Rabbi Nasan apparently doesn't accept that. Rabbi Nasan apparently thinks, even when he adds a nofach mishalom, Eina Mukadeshes. Why? Because they're arguing about this very issue. Mar Sovra Milva Pruta Daita Milva, that the Rabbi Nassan holds that when you're giving a Milva and a Pruta, her Das is on the Milva, and therefore Eina Mukadeshes. Umar Sovra Daita Pruta, Rabbi Danasi holds that her Das is on the Pruta, the Nofach Mishalo that he added, and therefore Mukadeshes. Therefore it would work. New Mishnah now, brand new topic. Hiskachli because there shall yayin limsa shall dvash. A guy says to a woman, you should be mukadeshes to me with this kos of yayin. It turns out it's honey, it's not wine. Shall dvash v'nimsa shall yayin. Or he says, be mukadeshes to me with this honey. It turns out it's wine. Or bedina zeshal kesef v'nimsa shall zav. With this dinar silver, it turns out that it's gold. Shall zav v'nimsa shall kesef. Or the opposite. Or third possibility, al menash ani ashir v'nimsa ani. Be mukadeshes to me al menash that I'm rich. It turns out he's poor. Ani v'nimsa ashir. Or that I'm poor. It turns out that he's rich. The Rishonim discuss why we need all three of these cases. L'chara, they're all the same. There's one thing that seems better, the other thing that seems worse, and we're saying in either direction, whether he overstated what he is or what he's giving her, or whether he understated what he is or what he's giving her, Einu Mukadeshes. She's not going to be Mukadeshes. Rabbi Shimon Omer Hitl Shvach Mukadeshes. That if he's Mata her Lashvach, that if he told her that he was poor and he's really rich, then she's Mukadeshes. Because if she's willing to accept something that's even lower, then she's Mukadeshes. So the Mepharshim wonder, why is it that you would say Einu Mukadeshes? An Ashir is better than an Ani. So the Prisha writes that no, sometimes a woman likes to feel like she's the boss. And she's going to feel intimidated if he's an Ashir. And she's not going to feel like she has the upper hand over him. So she's going to want to feel like she's in control. And she's going to feel less in control if he's an Ashir. The Gemara is going to discuss, the Ula is going to say, Machlokas b'shvach mamun, but b'shvach yuchsin, divrei akoleinu mekudeshes. That if he understated his yichus, then everyone would say, einu mekudeshes. Because that's really intimidating for her. She may feel that she's wearing, the Gemara is an expression, that she's wearing shoes that are too big on her. That she's getting involved in a family that's too, it's just too much. Yichus is something that's very impressive, but a person has to know what they're in for, and she may not feel comfortable putting up with that yichus. So
subjective or objective?
So we'll get to that also. That's a machlokas rishonim also. Whether it does the Mishnah give these examples because these are things that are a clear shevach, or is the Mishnah giving these examples as a way of expressing that a person can always say, what you misstated is something I'm not comfortable with. You know that. However, even if there's no logical reason why the Rishonim talk about, what if a man says, Almanas that I have karka b'makom ploni. And he has karka in another makom worth the same amount of money, and that karka is the same distance from where they are, but it just happens to not be makom ploni, it happens to be in a different makom. Can she say, well, that's not what I was in for, I didn't, or can you say, come on, what's the difference? You know, so that's a machlokas rishonim as well. But the Gemara tells us elsewhere that a person is not supposed to be misga'a b'toch beso, that someone who's misga'a is not even going to be makubal al anshei beso, even his family is not going to be impressed. And they say that this is one of the makaros, that a woman sometimes she's not so happy that he holds himself, or that he views himself as being entitled, or that he views himself as being more important. And if she runs the risk of that, she may not even be interested in the kiddushin. But anyway, Rabbi Shimon says if he's matal shvach, it is mukudeshes, that she would always want something better. So let's see the Gemara. Tal Rabbanan. Well, first we're going to discuss, since we mentioned his kaddishli because zesh shel yayin, the Gemara is going to discuss what does he mean to be mekaddishah with. The Mishnah sounds like he's trying to be mekaddish with the wine, not with the kos. But we're going to have three brises that suggest three different things about what a person means when he says, I'm being mekaddish with this cup of. So does he mean what's in the cup, or both? So says the Gemara, Tan Rabban is kachli because tani chada bo b'masha b'tocho. One brise says he's being mekaddish with both the cup and what's in it. V'tani yidach bo v'lo b'masha b'tocho. Second brise says, no, only with the cup, not what's in it. V'tani yidach masha b'tocho v'lo bo. Only what's in it and not the cup itself. Lokasha, habimaya, when it's water, water is not chashav at all, the das is only on the kli. Habichamra, when it's wine, it's about the content, it's not about the kli itself. It's a very similar svara to what the poskim discuss when it comes to tevilas kelim on packaged goods. You buy a bottle of mayonnaise, so do you have to, let's say, now it's plastic, but it used to be glass, they would sell glass jars with ketchup or whatever. So do you have to, as soon as you buy it, empty out all the contents into a plastic kli? Tova level the glass and then you can put it back in, because you're not allowed to use a glass kli that you bought from an akum. So the svara, the poskim suggest, is that if the kli is just, it's clearly there, it's just packaging. And as soon as you're done with it, as soon as you empty out the contents, you chuck the kli in the garbage, because the kli is garbage. It's just packaging, so it's batel to the item itself. It has no chashivas whatsoever. So that's the svara lekula. That's why they say you don't have to tovel a Snapple bottle or a mayonnaise jar or whatever else. Other poskim aren't so convinced. They think, oh, why is the kli just packaging? Why is a Snapple bottle, a glass Snapple bottle, just packaging? Because we're so rich that we could afford to take a glass, a perfectly good glass jar, and throw it in the garbage. But just because we're so rich and we can throw things away like that, so that's the svar that they suggest, that it's almost like a tafel to the right, that you're buying it for the yeah. So anyway, so that by wine, you're clearly buying the wine, you're not buying the bottle. I think marketing research shows otherwise, that people are more impressed with the bottle. Okay, but habitziara, and the third possibility is he's selling fish brine. So that's meant to last for a long, long time, and you need the kosa, and you need you're going to hang on to the kosa for a long time. So then it's bo uba masha betocho. Then the person intends to have both the item and what's in the item. Rav Chaim in the Chiddush HaGrach al Hashas says that in the case of b'masha b'tocha v'lobo, where you're only being kaddish with the contents, he says, I don't understand, how's a woman kaddishes with that? Even if you hold the halacha is when you are being maknas something to somebody, he can't be kona b'kelev shal maknas. It has to be b'kelev shal kona. Meaning, if I'm being kona an item, it has to be in my kelim. It can't be in your kelim. So how can the woman be kona if the kelim, if the husband's not being mekadesh with the kli? He's only being mekadesh with the wine that's in the kli. How can he give her the bottle of wine and her be mekudeshes? She can't be kona the wine if it's still in his kli. It's still the kelim shel makne. So Reb Chaim says, maybe that din is only a din by kinyan chatzer. That's not a din. In my chatzer, I can't put things in my kli and have you be kona things that are in my kli, in my chatzer. But if it's kinyan hagbah, where she's actually picking it up, then it could even be b'kelev shel makne. There is a lot of reason to assume this way, that kinyan hagbah is considered like a super kinyan. Kinyan hagbah can break a lot of rules because it's considered the strongest form of a kinyan. That's what the Ketzos writes. So kinyan hagbah is a kinyan chazak, it's the strongest, strong form of kinyan, and that's why we say that it's kodeh b'kol makom, that hagbah works everywhere. The Sma seems to assume a little bit otherwise. Hagbah is kona because the chef is in the rishus of the kona, because when I hold it, it's in my rishus, but it's not that kinyan agba is the super kinyan. But if you assume it's a super kinyan, then you understand why it's there.
Does she have to drink it?
What?
Does she have to drink it?
Does she have to drink it? No.
So
she's kona. I mean, she has something of value now. She could sell it, she could do whatever she wants with it. Right, she got something of value. Okay, so the imhita l'shvach harezim kadashas. Rabbi Shimon's shita was that if he misstated what he was giving her, but he understated what he was giving her, then she's mukadashas. Lastly, Rabbi Shimon yayin v'nimsa chametz, chametz v'nimsa yayin, shayim yichol l'achsabem. Doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold in dinim mamnis? If I told you I'm selling you vinegar, you know, I'm selling something to the Heinz company, so I know they need to make ketchup, so they need vinegar for their ketchup. And then it turns out that it's wine. It's this delicious wine. So they could say, no, we weren't interested in buying wine, we're interested in buying vinegar. They make their own vinegar, but they're interested in buying vinegar, not wine. So the dinim mamonis is in any direction, it's a mekachtos, and they could be chozer. So why does Rav Shimon not hold that way? Does Rav Shimon only say that if you're giving, if you said you were going to give something of greater value, then you give something of lesser value, you can be chozer, but the other way you won't be chozer? Some people prefer vinegar, some people prefer wine. Hachanami, you can nichle So here also, some people prefer silver, some people prefer gold. Some Rav Simon Bar Ashi, Ashkachte Labai, the Yasav Kamaz B'Leil Brei, Abai was explaining this to his son, Hachamay Askinon, Gon Sharm L'Shlucha, the case was, a guy said to his shliach, Halveni Dinar Shal Kesef, V'Leich V'Kadesh Li Isha Plonis. Lend me this Dinar of Kesef, and then go and be Mekadesh me that Isha with this Dinar Shal Kesef. V'Halach Vilva Shal Zav. And then he went and he borrowed and he lent him a golden dinar. Mar. So Mar Sever Kpedo, Mar Sever Mar Makom Ulo. So it's Machlokas, whether he was actually Makbid that it Dafka Bishal Kasev, or is it just Mar Makom Ulo, but it was really, he doesn't mind it being gold either. So the Rishonim are very troubled at this. What do you mean Mar Makom Ulo? It's cause he's borrowing this money, so it's costing him so much more if he has to pay back Shal Zav. How can you say that he's not being Makbid? I ask you, do me a favor, go be Mekadish Nisha with $10 for me. He says, I'll do better. He takes $10,000 to be Mekadish Nisha. I don't have $10,000. I didn't ask you to do that. So how could it be? So this is a major discussion in the Rishonim, and the, you know, the Rashba gives an approach to the Tosa Rash, the Ritva, the Rash, the Rashba gives a second approach. They all give different shittos. Tosa Rid says at the end of the day, there is no teretz to this kasha, and the Gemara doesn't ask it because the Gemara has a better kashas anyway to ask. But there is no teretz to this kasha, Tosa Rid says. The Rishonim try though. Other Rishonim assume there is a teretz, that the Shliach maybe didn't give the Isha a matbeah of Zav of the same size as the matveya of Kesef that he asked. He asked her to give him a matveya of Kesef that's this big, and he gave him a matveya of Zav that's much, much smaller. So it's the same value of the Kesef that he asked to give. It was just a higher quality item that he gave. Or maybe the Shliach took the financial hit himself. He said, yeah, okay, you'll only have to pay me the $10. I'm taking the other $9,990 on myself. Maybe that's the case, which is also very difficult to kimta to make over here. So that's what it says. The answers aren't all that great. So frankly, Mara, it shouldn't say iskachi li, iskachi lo mi bayilei. If it was a shliach involved, it should have said iskachi lo, that the guy who's actually saying the deep word to the isha is saying be mekudeshes to him, not to me. And hita l'shvach, hitehu l'shvach mi bayilei. You're mata her l'shvach? No, she knows exactly what she's getting. You're being mata the husband l'shvach is what it should have said. Nimtza turns out to be something else. Mekar nami desire. It always was something else from the moment the shliach took it. So the whole lashon doesn't work. Ella amar Rava, rather Rava explains. Aniva Risha b'chabur targimna uman Rav Chiya baravin hachom eskin gon shamra hilushlucha. The case is the woman said to her shliach, "Say v'kabeli kiddushai miploni, go be mekadesh for me my kiddushin from so and so." She omer li iskach li b'dinor shel kesef, because he told me he's going to be mekadesh me with the dinor shel kesef. So go pick it up for me and accept that kiddushin for me. V'alach benasal dinor shel zav. The shliach went and the husband gave him a dinor shel zav. So Marsav Kpedo, Marsav Maramakomilo. That's Machlokes, whether she's Makbid to only get Kesef, or she doesn't mind that she's getting Zav. So what does it mean? It turns out that it was something different. Dekatsayr Bibelisa. Now when the Shliach received it, it was all wrapped up. And then he brought it back to the woman, and she opens it up, and it's Zav instead of Kesef. That's the Machlokes tonight, whether Maramakomilo or it's going to be a Kpedo. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up two lines from the bottom of the page. Tomorrow I think we'll go with what it says on the schedule. So.